I'd like you to picture a family eating dinner. And at this dinner table, a father offers the blessing for the evening meal. And right after the blessing's been offered for the meal, everybody dives in and starts to eat their good dinner that's been prepared for them. And shortly after they're eating the meal, the father starts to complain about the things that's happened to him during the day. He complains about maybe getting stuck in traffic, or he starts to complain about something that happened at work, or he starts to complain about the things that are wrong in his house. Well, shortly after that conversation, one of the little kids that's there at the dinner table says, "Hey, Dad, that prayer that you prayed, did God hear that prayer?" And the father says, "Well, yeah, of course, God hears what we have to say." And then the kid asks another question. He says, "Well, Dad, did God hear all your complaints that you made just a moment ago after you prayed that prayer?" And the father knows that he's busted. He knows that his child has just put him on the spot and has just found him to be guilty of one moment complaining and one moment of praising God. And I think that we do that often. Sometimes we thank God 1 minute for all the blessings that He's given to us, and then just moments later we can forget about all the blessings that He's given to us, and we can become ignorant and we can just forget about how good He is to us. Well, this morning we get to study all the different things that God has given to us. And this morning we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. "Give us today our daily bread." And as we hear it, we get to hear about all the blessings that God has given to us. Jesus, quite often, He used and He spoke of bread. And many times, His use of bread was purely a physical thing. It was something that they did around the meal. But quite often, it was more than just a physical thing. It was Him describing something that's spiritual. Matthew 26:26 says this. It says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And He gave it to His disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is My body.'" And then from John chapter 6, verses 35, He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in Me will never be thirsty." As we hear those passages, we're reminded that Jesus is our daily bread. Shift gears with me for a moment. When I was in college, I was a youth ministry major. And because of that, I took a lot of Christian education and education theory types of classes. And it seemed like over and over again, my professors would try to impart in us to understand one key verse as we understood how we work with children. They would share with us Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2:52 reads, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." They would point us to that verse so that we would understand four different ways in which Jesus grew. Jesus grew physically, He grew in relationship with His Father, He grew in relationship with man, and He grew in wisdom. And they would point us to see that those were critical areas that children and teenagers and all of us need to grow in as well. I was thinking about all these different areas that Jesus grew in. And I was thinking that it's very easy for us to see that these four areas that Jesus grew in, these are the same four areas that God desires to provide for us as we think about our daily bread. God desires to meet each of our spiritual needs. And He does that through Christ Jesus. He desires to meet our physical needs. And He does that by providing us a home and family and food. He desires to meet our emotional needs. He says He wants to bring us peace and joy, safety and family and friends. He desires to give us wisdom so that we have the insights and the understanding so that we can walk in this world according to His ways. As I thought about all the different ways that God gives to us, I'm just awed and wowed by how giving our God is. He is constantly giving and constantly loving towards us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning we are awed by how great You are, by how giving You are. And it's our desire this morning to hear from Your Word, to hear how You have just given over and over again. And this morning we pray that You would use Your Word to teach us the things that You have for us, to teach us how giving You are, and to cause us to be grateful for that, to cause us to respond to this greatest gift that You've given to us. We desire to love You, we desire to know You more, and to hear from You. Amen. Well, imagine with me one more time, one more dinner table setting. This is a dinner table setting that you've been asked to prepare the meal. I don't know if you're the one that normally cooks in your house, but pretend like you've been the one that's been asked to prepare this dinner meal. And for some reason, you decide you're going to go out and you're just going to do the best dinner meal that you can think about. So you do, you get the finest tablecloths, you get the best china out, you get fresh flowers, you put them on the table. And then you go to the store and you buy like the freshest produce that you can. And you get the best cuts of meat. And then you go home and you're spending hours and hours and hours working in your kitchen, getting this wonderful meal put together for your family. Then after the family meal is all put together, you invite the family to come to the dinner table. And as they come to the dinner table, they all sit around. You have the blessing for the meal. And shortly after that, everybody's dived in and they're starting to eat. As you sit at the dinner table, you get one of three responses from the people that are at your table. You've got one group of people that are at your table that are complaining about the meal that you're having. They're saying things like, "Oh, this is disgusting. Oh, why couldn't we have had like this vegetable instead?" Or like, "I wish I was at my friend's house. They're having like cookies and ice cream for dinner." All right, maybe you've heard that. No, you haven't heard that. Then you've got another part of your family sitting at the table, and they're just like stone-faced. There's no reaction on their face to how good this meal is or how bad this meal is. They're just eating, looking down at their food, and they're not paying attention to you at all. Then you've got a third portion of your family. This is the part of your family that's thanking you for how good this meal is. They're paying you all sorts of compliments for how good of a cook you are and for how much they're enjoying this meal. Think about those three responses, and let's try to compare them to how we say thank you to God, what the attitude of our hearts is towards God. Sometimes we're just like that person who complains. Sometimes we're just like the person who sits there and doesn't even do anything, doesn't even pay attention to the fact that they've been given a great gift. And sometimes we are the person who thanks God. This morning, as we think about the phrase, "Give us our daily bread," it's my hope that we would be reminded to be a thankful people, a people who recognize how good God is. And as we think about how good God is, I think we have to pay attention to understand what it is that God desires that our hearts would look like. God desires that our hearts would be so that we would be people who acknowledge God for all that He's done, that we would recognize how God has constantly met all of our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, how He has been doing that over and over again. At the same time, God doesn't desire that we would be people who would like think of ourselves as the ones who have been so giving. God doesn't desire that we would think that the blessings that we have are a result of our own good works. Because when we do things like that, we start to become ignorant of who God is. We start to desire more and more than what we actually need. We start to act selfishly. We start to complain about the things that we have. So as you think about these two pictures of a person who does give glory to God and a person who just complains and thinks more of themselves than of God, again, who are you more like? Are you like the one who thanks God, or are you like the one who fails to give God the glory? Now this morning, I know we're studying this part of the Lord's Prayer, but I think there's a great parable that we can go to look at to help us to understand the type of attitude that Jesus desires that we would have. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all that you've prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." There's a number of things that I think we can draw from this passage to help us understand the type of attitude that God desires that we would have as we think about all of the things that He gives to us in His daily bread. The first thing that I think that we can draw out is that when we pursue on all the things of excess, when we focus on those things, we lose sight of all the things that God has given to us. And I think about all the things that we see in TV, all the things that the media shows us of what life should look like, supposedly, they accentuate all the life of the rich and famous. They accentuate having everything, having the newest toys. But compare that to the lifestyle that Jesus describes. Go look at all the conversations that Jesus has in the New Testament with people about money. In all of those conversations, he points people to understand that possessions should be seen as a gift from God, and that our relationship with God should be the first thing on our list. Everything else is secondary. And we even saw that last month as we studied the parable of the rich young ruler. There's a huge word in this phrase in the Lord's Prayer that I think that we really need to understand. And that huge word is a tiny little word. It's the word us. I think when we recognize the word us, when we see the significance of who we are inside the Lord's Prayer, I think that puts things into perspective. Because the Lord's Prayer isn't, give me today my daily bread. It's give us our daily bread. And it takes the focus off of ourselves. And I think quite often we get into the trap that we put ourselves as the center of the universe. But God's perspective is that we are not the center of the universe. He is. We are His creation. The parable that we just looked at, it's Jesus' answer to one brother's request that Jesus help them divide up their inheritance. And the brother who comes to Jesus, he only sees Jesus as a wise man, not as God. And Jesus' response to him is that he gives this rich fool grief because this rich fool who comes to him solely wanted to build up his own resources. He wasn't looking out for the benefit of others. He wasn't looking to provide for his family. He had solely himself on his mind. And God's desire for us is that we would honor him with our things. I have a friend who's asked a number of times to share with groups of believers what God's heart is for us to see about the things that we have and about money and about possessions. And he always goes and he always shares with them how the things that we have are just on loan from us, on loan to us from God. And I think that when we see things that way, that the things that God has for us are not ours, they're his. I think that helps us to put things in perspective. I think that helps us to keep from wanting more and more things. As we think about this portion of the Lord's Prayer, this give us our daily bread, I think there's two really good questions that we can ask as well. The first question is this, does God provide for believers and non-believers? Well, if you can look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 really quick, you would read this. You would read that God says that he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the answer to the question is yes, God does provide for those who do and do not know him. But then as we think about that answer, I think there's a good follow-up question that we have to ask. It's why does God care for non-believers? Another verse that you could look at to get this one addressed, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The reason that God reaches down to those who do and don't know him is so that we would be drawn to repentance, so that we would be drawn to know the greatness of all the things that he's done for us. And unfortunately, only believers are the ones that can truly know the goodness of God, because they're the only ones that really know the great provisions that God has made for them. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5 reminds us of that. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems you from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We hear that passage and we're reminded, a non-Christian just doesn't know what that passage is all about. Here's another insight for us. When we pray, we shouldn't just assume that God is going to just give us things, that he's going to hand things over to us. We need to understand that a part of the way that God gives us things is by the abilities and the talents and the opportunities to work. God provides for us, and when we see those things as gifts from God, that'll help us to understand the greatness of all that he's done to provide for us. Now, out of God's love, out of his heart to take care of us, comes a number of great provisions. And as I thought about all the provisions that God has done, I couldn't help but think of those homes in Mifflintown this week that have been struck down by fire. I would wonder, can they really see how God is daily providing for them? And it might be a tough thing for them to see right now. I think they could better see God's provision for them when individuals and churches come alongside them and provide for them and help them so that way they can see the things that God has provided for them. One more piece of how God has provided for us.
The last big piece that we're going to go after is we're going to try to see how God desires to provide for us day by day. God desires to meet all of our needs every day. And because He knows that we tend to worry, we tend to stress about what the future is going to look like, He gives us some good advice. Here's His good advice that He gives to us from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. God's desire is simply this, that He wants to meet our needs today. Not sure if you're familiar with Dallas Theological Seminary. You might be better familiar with Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll was one of the key faculty at Dallas Seminary when Dallas was just getting on the ground, when they were just getting their start. Today, Chuck Swindoll, big radio pastor and pastors a large church in the Dallas area. One thing that you probably don't know about Dallas Seminary is from early in their history, they were on the verge of bankruptcy. They had had all of their bills accumulate, and they were given a deadline of one day at noon, they must have all their bills paid up. And for months leading up to that deadline, boards of directors and all sorts of faculty gathered together to pray, to ask God to provide for them. And days went by, and it just seemed like God wasn't providing for them. And then that day that the bills came, they had one last opportunity to get together before the bills were due to pray. So a number of faculty and board of directors got together to pray. And that day, as they prayed, there was one of the men that was in the room by the name of Harry Ironside. He prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, the Bible says that You own the cattle on the hills. So would You please sell some of them and send us the money? That was his prayer. That was minutes before the deadline approached. Right after he prayed that prayer, a man walked into the receptionist's office of that room where the men were meeting. And he said to the receptionist, he said, ma'am, I'm a rancher. For many, many years, I have had tremendous luck selling cattle. But today, I have sold more cattle today than I've ever had in any single sale. And God has been incredibly good to me, and because of that, I have more money than I know what to do with. So God has laid it upon my heart to give to your school some money to supply some of the needs. And he had with him a check that was already written out, not even knowing that there was a need for that school. And he handed the secretary the check. The secretary saw the check, ran into the office, ran to where all the men were praying, and she said, you've got to see this. And she handed the check to the president. The president looked at the check, and as he saw the number that was there on the check, it was larger than the amount of what they needed to pay their debts. That same man that prayed that prayer moments before, he prayed another prayer. He said, Lord, thank You for selling the cattle on the hills. The truth for us is to know this, is that God wants to provide for us each and every day. And that's His promise to us, and He has been doing it throughout history. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at a big passage in Ezekiel chapter 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, there is a promise of God. And what I hope that you hear this morning as we look at this portion of Ezekiel is you hear all the times that God says, I am going to do this. Because I think it's important for us to be reminded that it's God the one that does the providing. It's not us. And the promise that we're going to look at right now, this is a promise written to a group of people some 6 centuries before the presence of Christ on the earth. Well, let's look at Ezekiel 34, verses 25 to 35. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will bless them in places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who have enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor wild beasts devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land, or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord, their God, and with them and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. These are God's promises for us just as much today. And in this passage, there's the illustration given of a shepherd. Well, for us, our shepherd is Jesus Christ. He loves us and He cares for us and He desires to meet each and every one of our needs. And you and I have a number of daily needs, but the greatest daily need that we have is to have our sins forgiven. And God desires to restore us and to bring us back to Him. And He does that as we surrender our hearts and go before His throne. It happens when we bring all of the junk, all of the sin that's in our life, and we give it to Him. The truth is, our lives weren't meant to carry the sin. The sin that we have is too heavy for ourselves. But that sin that we have, it was meant to be carried by Jesus Christ. So when we pray that God would give us our daily prayer, our daily bread, this is a part of our prayer request. We're asking for God to meet our needs and to provide for us a remedy for our sin. This whole idea of praying for God to provide for us should remind us of our need to trust in Him. The question that we have to wrestle is this. Have we put our trust in Him? Have you put your trust in Him? Or are you looking to yourself to meeting your own needs? If you've neglected thanking God for all the good things that He's given to you, share that need with God. God desires to hear that. Tell Him you're sorry for not recognizing how great He is, for not recognizing the great gifts that He's given to you. And if you're just realizing that God has given to you everything that you need, this is a good thing. Thank Him again. Share with Him how His Word is showing you your need to be dependent upon Him. At the cross, we find God's greatest provision to us. At the cross, we find that all of our sin, all of our ungrateful attitudes, all of our failures are taken by Jesus Christ. This is God's greatest gift to us. Again, the question, is this gift yours? Do you have this gift? Have you accepted this gift? There's a worship song that I'd like to share with you the words from right now. This song, it's a new song, but it's a song that the words really help me to understand the greatness of the gift of God. I'll share with you the words right now just by reading them to you. And after church ends, I've asked Mike to play the words as we're filing out. The song is written by an artist by the name of Jeremy Riddle, and it's called Sweetly Broken. To the cross I look, to the cross I cling. Of its sufferings I do drink, of its work I do sing. For on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I'm lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. What a priceless gift for an undeserved life have I been given through Christ crucified. You've called me out of death, you've called me into life, and I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. In all of the cross I must confess how wondrous your redeeming love and how great your faithfulness. At the cross we find God's greatest gift. We find forgiveness. This is a gift that God has for each of us. Simply just admit to God your need for Him and thank Him for His leading in your life. Thank Him for the gift that He's given to you. There's no fancy word. It's just an expression of our heart. Go here this morning. Know that God is incredibly giving and He has given you everything you could ever imagine. He has given you everything that you could ever need. Go here today. Go here in peace, reminded that God has provided for you.